Hello,
Hey
where are you?
Vincent, can you recognize?
Looks like an ugly city.
Sure is.
Yeah, I miss Kent.
It's pretty good. I just been enjoying walking around actually. It's been fun and the architecture is pretty amazing. And like I'm confused because I always thought to myself that like I don't know that Europe is,
Dying.
well, yeah, exactly. But like the buildings there are quite well maintained and rich, you know what I mean? It's like I'm just confused.
If you believe certain politicians, it's all run over by crime, and
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
that's still the case.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like young, beautiful people walking around and yeah,
Okay.
it's quite different to London, I'd say. Or
That's
some
why I
parts of
left,
London.
because I'm old now. See, my hair cannot be there anymore.
Yeah, I'm freaking Gandalf right now, man. Yeah,
Yeah.
so yeah, Belgium's been great and yeah, the conflict management camp was good. I mean, I think it's actually the best infrastructure conference on the planet, I dare say.
It
And
now
you missed out,
CubeConf?
Vincent.
Yeah, I did.
Pardon?
Unfortunately, after some information around holiday period, I had to lock in some contracts and deals, and it's been
All
going
right.
great. So unfortunately, I couldn't make it to conflict management camp, but I was able to do different things.
So this is all CDK Terra. Was it CDK? What do you call your
CDK
thing there?
Terrain, it's called now. Hey, actually, your proposal of the Golang setup of a project and hosting on AWS, where on one side you evaluate CloudFormation versus the AWS CLI and AWS CDK, but you're not evaluating Terraform in there. You're
Yeah,
comparing it against CloudFormation.
that plan that I sent you, like I thought I wouldn't influence it that much, but I asked Claude to give me what it wants to do. And funny enough, it didn't mention Terraform. Like I started the prompt saying
Maybe that's interesting.
like what how would you and I think I should have shared the prompt, shouldn't I? I think I was optimizing for speed and operational simplicity. And that's what it, and CDK came up top. So yeah.
Yeah, but
Anyway.
like, even if you look at the data of that report that was shared by Matt Gowey, but it's AWS usage data report about how people deploy on top of AWS, CloudFormation was by far the highest used, and then there was Terraform right after, and then there was AWS CDK. You know, I find it funny that you don't combine AWS CDK and CloudFormation, because it's the same, right? It's CloudFormation, except you have a better interface when you use AWS CDK.
Well,
I mean, not you, like the people that read the report.
I guess the winner for CDK is the the shift left early feedback because at compile time, you should kind of know if your code is working, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
And
mean
I think that
not 100%, but like good enough.
you must have influenced Cloud to consider this as one of the criteria, fact of the compile time checking, or it's influenced by your previous
No,
discussions.
maybe. So I had a chat with the Pulumi guys at the desk at Config Management Camp yesterday. I was pretty impressed with what they
They
had
are
to
doing
say.
really cool stuff. Yeah, no. I
Yeah.
have to say, like, if you consider CDKTF and Pulumi as like competitors, I don't think that's true, because I mean, I was naive. I did originally consider them, but then somebody showed, you know, wisened me up and showed me some of the really cool stuff, because Pulumi is a host engine that allows your infrastructure code to hook into some really advanced features that you can't do with Terraform declarative configuration, or you can't do even with CDKTF, unless you have some type of like the runtime, the host environment in which your TypeScript or Python or Golang, you know, the host is giving the infrastructure's code a lot of like dynamic capabilities of lookup. And AWS CDK does some of that, because you do have the CLI able to look
What do you
up
mean
into
the
the
host,
AWS
like
account.
their SaaS application? What do you mean by host?
No, 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 like the Pulumi host. So when you run your infrastructure configuration
All right.
application, it's an application, right? When you run it in Pulumi, it runs inside a host that runs
Oh,
your
it's like the
Java.
Kubernetes model, like desired state, is it? Well, why is it like that?
No, it's like, because ultimately Pulumi uses the Terraform providers, so under the hood,
Yeah,
right,
it
at least
does, yeah.
originally. So what it does give the program, because your Terraform, sorry, your TypeScript is a program that executes, right? And it exposes some functionality to that program that you write that can do things like custom or tailor my Terraform or my provider resource configuration to the target. So it does like it's called environment agnostic or environment aware setups. If you give it information about the target environment, it can actually provide details. Oh, sorry, I just have to reply to
Oh,
someone.
God.
So that it does that's the power of Pulumi to me.
Okay.
That you're
Well, the question in my mind when I approached the Pulumi desk was like, I guess I was coming from an AI perspective in the sense that, like, since Pulumi offers different language bindings, and of course it does straight up YAML, what would be the best language for AI to use, given all those choices? And the guy interestingly said, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Which I thought was quite curious.
He said it doesn't matter. Like, what is the best language to like the front end, the interface that you use to define your infrastructure?
Yeah, like he said, he was basically implying that it didn't matter if it was Go, YAML, I don't know,
Okay, he was a
Python.
salesperson.
Well, I think he kind of made some arguments to me. Like, I think that essentially, when it all goes through Pulumi, it gets
No,
figured
because
out.
they even have like a full declarative interface.
The
Right, which
YAML one,
is
you mean?
you can even define, but to me that's weird because YAML is always going to be like this domain specific language type of
But I guess
approach
he was implying that,
where
like, once you've
like Ansible.
thrown it into the Pulumi, whatever, it gets found out. I don't really know, but yeah, I thought it was interesting.
I also don't really know the details there because one of the major drawbacks about AWS CDK and the GSII ecosystem is that you get a lot more capabilities when you write in TypeScript because you can make libraries or reusable components in TypeScript and then you can consume them in Python or Node, or sorry, in Python or Java or Golang or
Oh, so
.NET,
you can
but you
generate
can't make,
from
you can't
Python
go the other
to.
way. Yeah,
Yeah, I
because
don't.
all that GSII does is it just creates a binding. From the other languages that under the hood calls JavaScript, and you can't go the other way. You can't create a binding from the other languages back into TypeScript. So, like when I was evaluating it for like teams to work with, one of the things that we do with CDK, AWS, Terraform CDK, what we do is we are building reusable components like L2s. Like I have a common L2 library, but then the teams they're actually building type of very customized L3s, which are like very focused on what they are trying to do, and they can do that in TypeScript. And then we are publishing and consuming it and transpiling it into Terraform configuration so it lands straight into our existing Terraform pipelines. So we have all of our existing Atlantis, all of our existing Terraform modules,
So,
and they just neatly land side by side with no migration
if I
required.
understand you correctly, Vincent, you need to write your shared level 2 or 3 construct in
In
TypeScript
TypeScript.
for it to be shared.
Yes,
That's
because
interesting.
like my whole pipeline is like you publish an NPM like code artifact private registry package of your like I'm a product team, right? I have my service definition, which is an XJS or whatever, or maybe it's just an ExpressJS or yes, we are a TypeScript shop, sorry. and then or a Lambdas, right? Because actually it applies much more to Lambdas. Like let's say that I am a product team and I have a very serverless solution that uses SQS, SNS, and all this like bucket notifications and Lambdas and all that. And so I need to produce a reusable artifact that I can then deploy in my dev environment, first, my sandbox evaluation environment, and then my staging environment with more integration points with other, existing staging resources. So I am producing a bundle, an artifact that is actually a library. It's an IC little library, and
What did
the
you say?
integration points.
I see library? What does that mean?
Infrastructure is called library.
Oh, okay, sir.
Like a TF module is kind of like a bundle or library, right? Except you don't really have the capabilities of defining strong interfaces, and also the library can't, the module can't really modify itself depending on the target environment, right? Whereas if I am in TypeScript, the interfaces that I get are like strongly typed, and I have in like I can even create imperative type of reconfiguration, like that the whole thing can adjust itself towards its target. And there's pros and cons, right? Because the more flexible, the more you get like validation like mechanisms. Now I need to I have like a bigger interface, right? Because I have more ways I can be configured, that more things I need to test for the different
You
configuration
call it
inputs that I have,
permutation
right?
exposure. The other thing that was demoed to me with the Pulumi, just getting back to the Pulumi thing, was that their SaaS offering seemed pretty robust. You know, they had secrets management, they had stack management. I mean, I don't know if Terraform. I mean, the last time I used Terraform Cloud or Terraform, I don't know, Workspaces or whatever it's called nowadays. They feel, I mean, is IBM even supporting it anymore? Because it doesn't seem to change.
This was always the biggest problem of
I
HashiCorp,
don't get
right?
it. Like,
Like,
why buy Terraform if you're not gonna,
yeah, I mean, even the Terraform
develop
Enterprise
the
offering.
cash cow? You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it.
Well, IBM
Why?
just been iterating on it recently, and maybe part of deprecating CDKTF is to ensure that they can focus on other areas. Although that there was a skeleton crew on CDKTF, I don't think it actually took any of their headcount. But it's a good thing they got rid of that team. Not they got rid of the team, they got rid of the product. The team is still there, the team moved on, they work
Okay.
on more of the like
This is
core
an opportunity for
Terraform
you.
features. But go back to the Terraform Cloud and the Terraform Enterprise. One of the biggest issues with HashiCorp always, and even Grab in Singapore, was leveraging Atlantis, an open source solution, against HashiCorp, saying like, look, you're asking for this much money, and I can get like most of it out of
Free
Atlantis
with
in a more
Atlantis,
customizable way. So they did hire the guy, Luke Kaslow, and the other guy, I forgot. He's actually head of product of one component. Mikhail, he did. I saw his presentation on the HashiConf date. But what I'm trying to say is that they always lacked in the execution level of the cloud solution. And Pulumi is very strong there. RBAC control,
It's really
cross
good.
script,
I did ask
secrets.
them that, like, so you have multiple stacks. Do you have like a dependency tree? And the guy conceded that they didn't, to my surprise. The outputs are strings
Like
and
what Grid does, you mean?
something, what's it, scones or whatever you call it. What
No,
did you
what I
call it?
do with Grid, which is like, you have
What you do, good. But
a
you were
dependency.
inspired by T-cons or something, weren't you? Or something. I mean, it's not
No,
a
I
new
am
idea.
Terra Construct T-cons is my project. I was doing
Oh,
Grid
shit.
T-cons. I was inspired by OpenTACO.
OpenTACO, that's the one. Yeah, but
The
yeah,
Grid.
I mean, we talked about it a lot last podcast, and like strongly typed, shift left, like we have that now. What's the next thing? Better dependency management with infrastructure, right? I mean,
Yes,
maybe
but
I'm
it's very hard
to
because,
do that.
like, the argument that I hear the most from Terra team and Stategraph is that this is very hard to achieve with infrastructure because you can't validate that your network rules work correct unless you actually deploy it into that particular environment. And there's always a difference because of the side arrays differences and all. And so that's kind of like where they say you can't test your infrastructure. It's not the same as software delivery. And I can see that in a way, but I think if you have a strong language and you have a, like strong interfaces, you can do a lot more. You can get a lot more confidence in the fact that it's going to work the way you expect it to
Well, I
work
think it's,
than
yeah,
what
it's a
you get
problem
from
yet to
Terraform.
be solved. At least I haven't seen it solved. I mean,
If you believe platform, if you believe
I should try
Forma,
your grid, your
yeah.
vibe
So
code
the grid is great.
in. Are you using it in
Unfortunately,
production? I guess
I had
your
to.
attention is being starved. You know,
It
you're
has
focusing.
been so. I have not. I mean, I have it deployed in a POC repo with the intention of other people to validate it in my organization, but we haven't been able to promote it again because of like cost cutting exercises across the board in every company that I talk to.
I didn't see the flow in Pulumi, actually. I was, because it was like, you know, didn't he didn't have a computer, we're just talking face to face. But the demo that kind of blew me away was not a
System
Pulumi.
initiative.
No,
Oh no,
not the
sorry.
System Initiative.
Yeah,
We can talk about that a little bit later. The
okay.
demo that blew me away was the so QLang is like pickle. You define your config in a fancy pantsy
You
language.
gotta choose which one. You don't know. You can't let
Well, I'm to
both.
be honest, I'm leaning towards QLang just because of some of quality
Okay.
of life aspects. So the cool thing about QLang is, like, I don't know, that it changed the config, you know, like scaled the memory, had more CPUs, and then of course it can hook into pretty much anything. But they showed a demo when it did a Terraform plan, and the cool thing about that was that when the Terraform plan came back, it fed back into the QLang, so you could actually see the change without, like, look, you know, like when you do a plan, it's just like bloody insane. And the cool thing about it, I hope I'm trying to explain it correctly, is that it summarized the plan in a way that was like operationally sane. Like, yeah, you've changed this, and that's because of this config change. And this plan like works out how it is. And then I think I'm not sure if they've implemented it quite yet. But then there's things in the works, like the approval gates and things like that. I mean, this is something that we struggle with at my workplace. Is
But
like
this is a
we're
platform on
changing
top of you.
Terraform. Like, we have to control how it's done, the audited, whether it's deleted, whether it's updated,
Right.
replaced. We have to understand what's going on, because reading plans is just, or there is this TF summarizer that we use, but it's still a nightmare. So the cool thing about this was that in the PR, it like spun up a QLang thing. I didn't even know you could do this. And it was just really fast and nice.
But this
It
is
was like, I guess it.
a framework on QLang. This is some like this is a bunch of tools that they built on top of QLang
Yeah,
to
something like
achieve
that. It's
all of
like a
this. What's it
QLang. I think they
called?
call it Q Hub.
Okay,
Anyway,
I haven't heard about this.
that demo was impressive. And then some other guy from Ubisoft was giving a demo where I've never quite seen this concept before, but he gave, like, I mean, it was a bit contrived, but he gave the scenario where he's imagining like 1,000 users, and then given 1,000 users, then you can say that given what the application does, you need, 1,000 megabytes of RAM, and then basically this model of how your application works becomes config, and then also that model gets confirmed in the observability. So you have this sort of feedback loop between what's deployed, what's being observed, what's your model, what's being deployed, and you go from there. And then of course he uses QLang as a way of marking that all up so that everything comes together and further validates the model. I thought that was really interesting. I've never seen it done that way before. But like
That's interesting. But like my problem with all of these custom, like I understand that a lot of organizations like Google, they even invented QLang specifically to manage the problem of configuration, meaning that you don't have a full-fledged programming language for configuration management. That's why they built QLang. That's why Apple has Pickle. But I think that's not a bad idea, right? The fact that then you can use QLang to manage configuration, like the same reason why JSONNet exists, right? JSONNet is a language to basically, imperatively kind of control the JSON configurations that you're trying to generate. But my issue, and I think I tried to tell this to you as well when you send me some of this stuff, is like, great, that's yet another way of doing the same thing on top of
You've
Terraform
invented a new
providers or
standard or
Terraform
something.
resources. Yeah, you're inventing a new thing, but the same way like with this system initiative, you're just creating another way of, doing CRUD on resources. And that's not the problem, right? Doing CRUD on resources.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean, that's a bit unfair because I think Q is trying to get that one pager, that over what well, that one pager of your application system thing, right? Sorry, I can't. I'm not too sure. Sorry, I can do one page with my hands. It's not trying to do CRUD operations, of course. Like, The interesting thing, I was talking to some of the QLang guys, like,
No, but you
that's
delegate
the problem.
delegate the CRUD to the Terraform provider, right? As long as you don't, as you leverage the existing
Yeah,
provider, you get all of the CRUD.
but in an ideal world, things would great. I mean, this is the way I understood what he was saying. In an ideal world, things would vastly improve if you could actually give that whole config to the cloud service provider instead of doing all these CRUD operations, because there's so much complexity in that Terraform provider. There's so much stuff going on with all those CRUD operations. In an ideal
Yeah.
world, you could just give the declarative config, and that's that. I mean, that's what we want to
Well,
move
which is
to.
what kind of like Kubernetes promises, right? You give
Yeah,
the full declarative
exactly.
config, and that's what
Yeah.
Crossplane also promises. You have to have a whole cloud control layer, like within Kubernetes, that
I was
takes
chatting
care
with
of
a
that.
Kubernetes guy, and I mean, we all know this stuff, but I just think it was, I don't know, maybe it's just the gig that I'm on. Like, he was saying, like, yeah, when you put your CPUs and your memory definitions in your deployment YAML, the idea is that you deploy it into your environment and then you constantly refine it, knowing what the
Okay, was
application.
that was that was that is that the guy? Okay, I can guess who. Daniel, was that Daniel?
No, it wasn't Daniel. It was just
Okay.
another guy. But I thought to myself, it's like, this is so weird because, or foreign to me, because we have so many, like in my workplace, we have so many environments, and there's a promotion environment, and like it's very, very hard to nail down the resource limits. Anyway,
Yeah, so
I just thought it
there's
was
this
funny.
Kube Learn from Daniel. They do some really interesting like visualizations of how Kubernetes worked. They even got some gigs where they trained Apple engineers to on Kubernetes. And one of the recent things that he was really into was to like, how do you evaluate the actual, resource requirements of your deployments? And he asked a lot of questions and spent a lot of time trying to see,
But
because they added now. They
it's
added
okay.
virtual pod autoscaling as well. So before you could only like add more pods, but
Yeah.
now you can actually, with the control group V2,
Oh,
you can actually resize the number of CPU and memory you give a pod
that's another.
without recreating the pod, which is insane, right? And if you have those capabilities, then you can like dynamically resize your CPU and memory
I
usage.
still think it's pretty insane in a way. I mean, like,
Yeah, but I mean, that's just one application
hold on,
level,
wait up, wait
because
up, wait up. I just need some water. Oh.
but these are all the dials and knobs that you get with Kubernetes, right? And the problem for me is YAML, the way to declaratively define, it's insane. Then you build languages on top like Q that basically, I don't know, do they use, because doing a demo, from what you just said, right? He said Q is great. If only we could give it directly to the provider, directly to the cloud service, right? And without having to go through these providers with all their legacy assumptions. And then we discussed Kubernetes is a cloud controller interface that gives you the ability to declaratively define a very, remote
I
radio, whatever
mean,
you call it.
the guy behind Q is like the same guy behind Kubernetes, actually. So I guess that's why he says stuff like that.
Yeah, well, if they build a configuration front end that uses QLang and then is able to manage the YAML, I guess great, but that's still, I mean, you still need a cluster to deploy it, and then yes, maybe you can be like Upbound, which is the cross-plane SaaS. Basically, we provide you the cluster, so you don't have to run your own clusters, and then you just work purely with Crossplane. So you just
No,
define
please,
all of
no,
your.
not cross-plane. Getting sidetracked here. Okay,
No,
let's.
because you were talking about basically a control loop on top of the cloud service, an uniform control loop, and that's what Crossplane is, right? They're a uniform control loop on top of the
Yeah, but couldn't you
cloud
just use
service provider.
Kubernetes or something? I mean, if you want to go
What are
like,
you talking about when you like, if you need to provision SQS queues and topics and buckets and
oh, okay,
RDS
you want
instances,
to still do AWS? Okay, yeah, okay, I think I got you. I got you. Yeah, you
not
need to.
necessarily AWS. I mean, any cloud that you're using, you're still using managed services, right?
Oh God, sorry. Well, let's go back to AI. Did
Because
you see?
that was part of your prompt,
Did you
like
see
how easy
Adam?
is
Did you
this for
see Adam
AI?
Jacobs talk? Did I share it with you?
Are they online? I don't know. I didn't
Yeah, it's
see it.
online. Yeah, it was good.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, no, but like you give me some notes where you said like it's gonna be so much code that we cannot control it, and our role is more towards validation. I mean, I've hear the same thing for
Or
like
spot
everyone I
checking.
talk to. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think those are like, yeah, if you use the AI, you kind of like it, you gotta be blind if you don't see
Yeah,
that.
the
I think everyone's coming to this conclusion.
yeah the I you know what, one thing that I've always found very polarizing in my career is Slock, like source lines of code. And he basically just came up guns firing, saying that like that with AI you could output 50K lines of code. And the point he was trying to make is that like the force multiplier, the utility, the what AI can do is absolutely insane. And
It is, yeah.
I mean 50K, I mean what is 50K? It means nothing. It just but it means it's just a number
I mean,
to get
people
through
just
people to
refer to
heads that
Boris.
like, huh?
Boris, when he talks about all of the code to cloud code, he just said like 500 PRs a week or something. It's
Yeah.
all managed different
So yeah, he was talking about the velocity. The velocity, yeah, my takeaway from his talk was that the velocity is now absolutely bananas. And now the bottleneck is infrastructure's code because all that velocity needs to run on some service. So we
Right.
need to match that velocity with the way that we provide infrastructure's code. So yeah, it had me thinking like, what is slow in my organization? Like, oh my God, PRs are slow. Our CDK stack deployments and everything like that, the coordination and the releases is slow. The promotion is slow. There's so much slowness in at least in my workplace, I find, for different re not just technological reasons. I would say mostly organizational and approval reasons. Everything is so slow in my client. So yeah, it got me thinking, and this is why I was asking questions like, now I'm looking at my infrastructure as code pipeline and just thinking like how can I make this fast so that so I mean like I don't when you develop with AI, are you doing a Terraform plan and apply or CDK deploy and apply, and like don't you feel that that's a bit slow, or maybe we're looking at the wrong.
No, because one of the things that you highlighted in that Golang architecture for AWS, or that cloud gave you, was like deployment time with AWS CDK is fast, just CDK deploy. I think that's one of the main criticisms I hear about CDK is that cloud formation is so extremely slow. Because it goes and it gives you this transactional guarantees, like it's all or nothing. So it starts to deploy, it starts to create backups, starts to do all of this additional stuff. And then if anything goes wrong, it does guarantee the full rollback, which is super
Which
frustrating.
never seems
Super
to properly
frustrating.
work.
Because then you have
Never,
something left
ever.
behind, then something, prevents it from being destroyed, and it doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing that you don't get with Terraform, right? When you run a fly, if it doesn't go through totally, it just left like that, right? And then you're left to figure it out. It goes very fast. Right, it's gonna create, destroy everything, and then they're going like, "Whoop! Actually, we're stuck. Good luck." And there's no
Yeah.
guarantee on the rollback, right? Which is what you don't get with Terraform. It does make everything feel much faster because you have these individual resources all getting created super fast, but you don't have the transactional guarantee, right? So that was one of the things that I was trying to solve with my friend when we were because he heavily relied on this CloudFormation guarantee doing cross-regional deploys, because that's another great thing about CloudFormation. It's basically available in every region. So you want to do a cross-regional deploy, just kick it off and it goes. But then when we're looking at like moving over to Terraform, we are like, oh shit, now we are responsible, because we're like the fly.io, right? Now we are responsible for like, what if the deployment failed? How do we roll back? And I'm like, yeah, I can't tell you, could be so many reasons why
You
Terraform
know,
stops middle.
I just have the thought that I made a video about this a month ago or two. I just had the thought that like data aside, what probably works best for AI is just having its own AWS account, which it just bootstraps from scratch. And when that AWS account becomes crofty, it just basically deletes that AWS account,
Nukes it.
nukes it, and starts a new one. What is that? There's probably a name for it. I don't know, like
Ephemeral?
pardon?
Sounds ephemeral.
Yeah, ephemeral. Yeah, I think AI needs a more ephemeral environments. Oh, but in my current workplace, just getting an account vended is really, 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 really hard. No, and I don't know how we can even close it. But yeah, ephemeral environment surely seems like an AI friendly pattern.
Well, everything has data. You know, the biggest problem with environments is data. You know, how do
Yeah.
you like even replicate, or even when I want to do a full integration test with full QA automation end to end, how do I get realistic data? Do I have seats for everything? Do I replicate production data? Do I, you know, mask out all of the information? Like some companies
Yeah,
say, yeah, we've got
the
it all
data
solved
question.
already.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really talked about data and AI, but that was probably the missing piece of the puzzle for me. Another,
That's all. We have a job. If this was all solved, you wouldn't have a job.
I suppose. God, you sound really Belgian. Maybe it's all the Flemish I'm hearing. One other demo before I need to probably run out screaming is which I found really interesting, and that really proves the cat is out of the bag, was this guy was showing that his new framework laptop with the AI Max chipset. And interestingly, he had like I don't know,
Five
100,
open clouds.
he had 188, he had 128 gigs of RAM or something. And the cool thing he said is that this new AMD Mac AI Max, one of the USPs, one of the key features is that you can dedicate your RAM to the GPU and make your GPU even more powerful. So he basically KVM'd into his machine, which didn't have any internet. And then he's also the author of Ara, which is like this Ansible playbook sort of UI where it like logs how long the AI playbook took to run and what the inputs were and what the logs were. So basically he managed to configure his framework desktop to diagnose failing playbooks, and he was just using, you know, Llama and I don't know, the GPT, whatever model, the Z, or what, I don't know, whatever local
It's at the
models,
end. GLM.
and it was just steaming through all these playbook errors and fixing things, you know, missing,
With local
updating,
models, nice.
updating Postgres libraries, fixing errors
It
here,
wasn't
there,
a
and
prepared
everywhere,
demo at all.
huh?
It was probably Postgres from 5 years ago, well within the training database of the local LLMs.
Maybe, maybe,
I'm
but
just
like,
kidding. I'm just kidding.
but the demo was compelling because you know how it is. It's like, you don't want to use AI because it's, you know, it's only used, you would have to become dependent on Anthropic and OpenAI. But no, hell
Oh,
no.
right.
This shows that we have the ability to run it locally. Of course,
Yeah,
the model is not as capable
models.
as Claude, but it's damn,
Yeah,
the cat is
but
out
think
the
about it.
bag.
Those local models now are like 0.4 capabilities, and then
Yeah.
0.4 like chain of think of thinking,
04. Why do you
COT.
say 04? I mean, okay, whatever.
Because they do compare, like the GPT OSS are equal
Yeah.
to 0.4 is GPT-0.4, like the first
Okay,
reasoning
I
models
think three,
of
four. I
OpenAI.
mean, the whole bloody versioning thing doesn't really make sense, but like.
Yeah, it was 0.1, 0.4,
But
because
the
they went
point
like
is that,
GPT-3, GPT-4, then 0.1, then 0.4.
yeah,
Yeah.
even 6 month or 1 year old models at this point are actually pretty capable for some tasks. So yeah,
Absolutely,
like
yeah, no, that's true.
of course, anyone that's listening to us right now, I would say that like the best model at the moment is the Claude Anthropic 4.5 Opus or Sonnet. It's
So you
like
just got a
it's
sponsorship, is it?
and this is hashtag not sponsored. It's
Didn't tell me.
$20 a month to get on Pro. Of course, you get limited quite heavily if you do anything hardcore. But like guys, the sun is shining. The sun is shining. Make hay.
Wait, you're in Belgium and the sun is shining. I can
Yeah,
imagine you're
that
happy.
I think there's something going weird. Is the AI? Did the AI do this? Is the AI listening?
So there's this that happened. Oh shit. Is there sensitive information here? Probably just talked to
Just your
myself.
locations, maybe.
Yeah.
HCMC.
What is this?
Oh, you're now a big boy wearing big boy pants.
Just upgraded this morning. I
Have
felt
you
like I was
already hit the
hitting limits.
limits? Knowing
No,
you like.
I was running out of limits on pro every week, like within 3 days, and I was like, that's it. I need for the next few weeks. I have quite a lot of things that I have to do,
Okay,
and
I'd be
I don't
curious if you
want to
hit the
be.
limits, because it's like
Yeah,
classic, isn't it? It's like you get the
I'm
back spend,
sorry.
and
You're gonna have
now
to
you're
edit
over
probably.
provisioned, and now you're like thinking, oh, I'm not using it enough. Oh.
Yeah, no, this is definitely gonna lead to some burnout. So yeah, you're probably gonna have to cut some vision, like put some black boxes some places, because I just showed part of my credit card. I don't know if
Oh,
that
come
matters,
on,
but
no
also
one's
my
going to hack you
location.
with the last four digits of your credit card.
Yeah, it's true, and it's also there's no money on it, so and but that's not how credit cards work, though.
The max plan. I could just imagine like people panhandling on the streets. I need money for my max plan.
Hey,
No,
you're kidding, but I do think that that's what's going to happen next, right? It's
no,
going to
no. I mean,
become
I was just telling you an example where you can.
elite.
What?
It's going to become only accessible to some people.
Well,
When
I
you
mean.
talk about panhandling, I really think some people are not going to get access anymore.
Come on, my earlier story was supposed to point out that for
About the
four
local
grand you
models.
can basically get a less capable model but run it locally.
$4,000 of hardware. That's only $4,000 he spent?
Yeah, the frame rate laptop is 4,000 Canadian or something.
Okay, that's not too bad. So you could argue that, with the money I spend every month, I could have just bought and depreciated it. I still don't think it's the same,
Yeah,
though.
it's difficult. Like,
You know
yeah.
what convinced me to bump it up? Not just that I was hitting the limits on Pro, but also that the recent Cloud Code announcements. So they added like task dependencies. So you basically have Beats built into Cloud Code, right? The
Oh,
ability to
that's
define
all in
tasks.
Claude Code right now. Yeah, like
Yes, and
since I've been at conference for a week, I feel like I missed a month's worth
you
of
lost everything.
announcements. What did I miss?
I should share with you the video from the guy who used to do spec kit at Microsoft. He's now at Anthropic, right? Then I forgot his last name. Dan Dimon something, and he just broke down the future of cloud code, right? He's obviously very experienced with, like, he highlights some of the techniques that you use, and they're very very heavily used in SpecKit, which is the templating. So basically you give the model a template of what a plan looks like, right? And SpecKit does that. When you run the command, it executes a script, and that script prepares a template in the right place, and then it tells the model, read it. These are the things you need to do, and it follows a template, right? So you get very consistent
Why do you
outputs.
call it a
The
template? I
second
mean, that could be a skill, couldn't it? I mean, why do you? What's the difference between a template and a skill
it's
and
a
a
combination, because like
prompt?
now skill and commands, they're very similar. You can like invoke skills the same way that you can invoke commands. So what used to be a command has been renamed to skills. So skills, and he calls it the templates approach, because on one side you have a skill that gives you instructions of the steps to follow, but on the other side you have a template of the actual artifact that you want to produce. If you're talking specifically about plans and tasks and execution of what your agents are going to do, you need to have a certain level of information within the specifications that the agents can do it correctly without confusion, right? So the biggest issue is, if you do vibe coding, you are missing intent, and you're missing some of the, like, you're letting the model make assumptions, and you're leaving some of the edge cases out without your decision, and that leads to unexpected results. So when you are following this template model, you are capturing those requirements, and you're eliminating those assumptions and those blurry
Okay.
lines. So that's part of the spec kit
I guess
and
a
spec
template
driven
implies that things need to be
approach.
captured, perhaps.
Yes, the template has your minimum requirements, and he doesn't do only the template, because he also adds on top that you have the hook, validation hook. So when the agent worked through the template and captured all of the information according to the template and the task and the user specification, then there's a validation hook. Like, he uses actually the one that you mentioned, like the Astra TY, the type thing. He actually validates that the template has the attributes deterministically, like this particular specification document or requirements document has this section, this section, this section are all valid. It doesn't, validate the contents, but it validates that the section exists. And that's also what Kiro does, right? When you are, building your plan to feed it to agents
Kira,
to execute, because Kiro is all about the upfront planning. Everyone that uses AI lately, they all say you spend 80% time upfront planning. 20%
software
of the time
architecture,
is the agent executing, right? That execution load, like what Adam just said as well, it's just generated, just goes on, right? And your job as a human, with your limited amount of effective hours and attention span, you are in charge of like making the critical decisions.
Adam was saying that we all need to read the domain-driven design book, which I think is written by a thought worker. I'm not 100% or ex-thought worker. I mean, have you ever actually dived into domain-driven design yourself, out of
There's so
curiosity?
many times I've wanted to, and I've never really spent a lot of time on it.
So,
No.
like, anyway, with all the spec kit stuff, I mean, you missed the spec kit to me. Did you find the stuff any improving? I guess it's just more and more integrated with Claude Code, right? It's nothing
Yeah, so the
changed,
guy
but
who built, who wrote large parts of Speckit and, iterated through a lot of the prompts and set this all up, aside from the idea, he worked with someone at Microsoft that came up like led with the idea. He's the guy that actually built the Speckit. Now at Anthropic, he's introducing a lot of these features on top of the Cloud Code suite. So if you watch his video, it's not on his official channel. Like, he has a separate channel, which is like, how you call, like, Indie Dan. Yeah, that's his, because like independent, it's like, and yeah, and there he actually goes down, he talks about the validation hooks, he talks about the template
so that
approach,
guy
and then
works
he
for
talks
Anthropic
about,
now, my God.
yes, and then he talks about the agent system, because you were able to do agents, but the coordination system was bad, right? I told you, I tried, I had all of my plans worked out, I had identified parallel tasks perfect for parallel agents, right? Because there's no way that these agents will step on each other's toes if they're completely working on separate parallel tasks. Wrong. Because there was assumptions in there in the tasks, in the context that they got, which was like, there's this shared library, and each one of them implemented the shared library and things like that. So that requires coordination between agents, and like Gastown and others, they use agent mail and more traditional systems of like agents messaging each other. And I think they're building Gastown now directly into Cloud Code. So that's why I upgraded, because I felt like Opus is not gonna, like, my
So,
basic access to Opus is not gonna cut it.
okay, there's a lot going on here. So, do you still use beads? Is what was at my top of my mind.
At the moment, I am, because what I'm working with is something Cloud Code independent, but I also feel that I upgraded because I wanted to see what this is going to be. This thing that Dan showcased, where he highlighted some of the core concepts that I see in Speckit, reapplied into Cloud Code, and the concept of agent swarm directly in Cloud Code. I felt that I don't know if I will be using Beats in that scenario, right? I talked to other people, they use GitHub issues and other stuff like that. I still
Does this tar I
feel
mean,
like
have you
me.
played with this Claude Code, or has it just been announced? Is it live? Like, does it save the tasks to some database
They
or to
it, it it
some
has its
file
task,
system?
like, it has its memory system, so it has the ability to save tasks across sessions. That's one of the
Okay.
features of this new task
Does it
system of
is it
Cloud
able to
Code.
do what Beads does and, like,
It has
do a dependent?
dependency. It has the ability to define this task blocks this task and things like
Wow.
that. Yeah, they build all of that into Cloud Code now. So if you consider all of that, the reason to use Beats becomes a lot less if you are go full in onto Cloud Code, right? So that's kind of like where I'm feeling out. That's
Yeah,
why I want
because
to explore that.
because I remember talking to you and you were like getting Gemini to review the output from Claude Code. Those sort of workflows are going to, I guess, become harder and harder to do if you go all in, right?
One of the points that Theo made about the move from Anthropic to not allow people to use their subscription outside of Cloud Code and effectively shut down anyone that doesn't ban their account, is because they want to make it very sticky, right? They don't, the model alone is not the, and I think we know Opus by itself is just on par with GPT
Yeah, I guess
5.2.
it could be
It's the
eclipsed pretty
toolkit
soon.
that they want you to stick to.
Yeah,
So that's why
the
they are like
ecosystem.
building the toolkit.
Yeah, it seems sad though, and in
Yeah,
a way.
it would be very like I always said like I keep my options open. I don't go full in on any of them. But with the recent evolution and the way that Anthropic is leading, and I also think like I think Hero is actually because AWS is invested into Anthropic. I don't know how Hero is affected by this this decision of how you get to use the model, but Hero uses Anthropic models, right?
Not
So I
really.
think Hero might have an edge there, but I still feel I still feel cloud code is like ahead, even though that most people hate the leadership of Anthropic with all of his, like
Well, it's a bit anti-competitive, but I guess
yeah, it is.
they're trying to build a moat. Trying to build a moat.
Yeah, and
Now,
they're like, don't sell GPU to China. That's an like and all that. Like, they're very vocal about those things, and everybody
what
hates
about
them.
other announcements? I can't help but think be a
New
shot in
Codex
front.
from.
I'm being a shot in front to OpenAI. They don't seem to do anything that seems to capture my attention
Yeah,
lately.
so I shared with a friend that I just went in on Max, and he's like, "What are you doing?" Because OpenAI just
Release
doubled the
coding,
usage.
yeah.
Yeah, they just released this new UI, and Theo did like a very nice breakdown comparing it. I used to complain a lot about Theo, but I think
Did he
I
do
have
a,
learned
did
to
he do an
appreciate.
honest thing and say this is junk, and OpenAI and Claude is
No, yeah, he had to frame his video very heavily with like, "I am not being paid by OpenAI," blah 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 blah. But Codex is amazing. So it was interesting to see. He basically said that they took all of the good stuff of anti-gravity, which is the agent management, and they made it accessible in Codex so that you can run multiple agents across work trees. They made the ability to use work trees more intuitive, so you can see all of the work trees that exist and switch between them very
Yeah.
easily, so you can
Have
have
you tried it
multiple agents.
yourself?
No. I
No,
only
because
watched this video,
it
and
just looked like a
I went
very,
into code.
it looked like a Cowork ripoff on the face of it. I mean,
Okay, I haven't tried
it
Cowork
just looked
also,
like
so I don't
another like fat Electron app. It looked very uninspiring to me.
know. Okay, so a lot of like, so somebody told me like, "Hey, OpenAI just doubled the usage limits," because I was like, but when I went from Pro, I went to Max, which is 5 times my usage limit, but of course at 3 times the cost. Oh no, is it? It is actually five. Wait, it
It
is
said five.
five
I think
times
it
the
said
cost.
5x on your earlier share.
Yeah, it says 5x usage, but
Yeah.
the cost is also not triple. I think it's also more than. Anyway, doesn't
Yeah.
matter.
5x usage,
Decision made,
3x
no
cost,
buyer's
10x
remorse.
productivity. It's like
Bias, no
crazy
buyer's
times we're living
remorse
in.
here. No buyer's remorse here. No impulse decision. Okay, cool. I have to go also.
Okay, you have to
Yeah, just
go.
let me know.
But like, speaking of buyer's remorse, I did find it very interesting. A colleague said to me that like Claude is basically making you feel like you're at a gambling machine. It's making it addictive to do the thing, and I think you might be addicted, Vincent. You might be hooked
Is
by
this an intervention? If the next call I join and there's five people on the call, I'm gonna and my wife
when
is on the
Claude
call.
says it was a great idea, maybe it wasn't, Vincent. That's all I'm saying.
When you started saying using cloud is like a gambling machine, my initial reaction was, this guy never heard of spec kit. This guy doesn't know how to get the quality control if he cannot control.
Okay, no. I mean, it is very addictive, this whole stuff. Okay, see you, man. Thanks for the chat. I'll publish this
Yes.
sometime
Enjoy,
whenever.
Kent. Enjoy the sunshine.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.